Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, man? Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you. I was just telling Ryan before we came on, here in Charlotte where I live, we're bracing ourselves for what probably going to be about a quarter inch of snow, and it's complete and total chaos, and the end times. So we'll see. Check in with me next week, and we'll see if Charlotte survives.
You gotten all your milk, all your bread out of the way, ready to ride this thing out?
Yeah, well, I was just telling Ryan, I went to the grocery store last night to buy chicken legs, and I'm like, the hell is going on? Because it was chaos. And then I realized I hadn't looked at the weather. So it's, this will be the first time in 10 years that I haven't been getting on a plane today to go to the national championship game.
Yeah.
So my body clock is a little jacked up anyway. And so the snow will just add to that.
Well, Ryan, let's get right to that. I mean, the college football playoff, Alabama takes care of Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame, honestly, kind of hang around in that game a little better than I thought they would. But then Ohio State just comes out and obliterates Clemson in that game. How surprised were you that Ohio State handled Clemson as easily as they did, and what sort of a chance do you give them against Alabama in this game?
I was shocked. I mean, and I mentioned I live here in Charlotte. So, I mean, I went to the ACC championship game here, just a couple weekends ago. And so Trevor Lawrence was back at full strength, and I watched them just push Notre Dame around, quite honestly, for, three and a half quarters. And so to me, I thought, all right, here we go. Trevor Lawrence is back in, Santa Clara mode, and they're going to take care of business. And here we go again with Clemson and Alabama. But Ohio State's just really good. And I think we just forget, they had a legitimate chance when had everything happened the way it was supposed to happen schedule-wise. They had a legitimate chance to be the number one team in the country in September. I mean, they were that good. And there was a lot of buzz, and Justin Fields is really, really good. And he had his struggles for a minute, but, man, he sure wasn't struggling in the semifinals. So, yeah, I think it's, I understand that Alabama won, 12 awards last night at the College Football Awards, and I understand that yes, they beat Notre Dame in the semifinal. And if they win on Monday night, I think that you could – it's not a long argument at all that this is Nick Saban's best team and it's one of the best teams of all time. I mean, all of that. But that being said, Ohio State absolutely 100% loves it when we're talking about the other team like that.
So what kind of chance do you give them, Ryan? I mean, I thought that the D-line, that was one of the things in that game that really stood out to me, what they did to Clemson. And obviously, obviously Justin Fields with those deep shots, but Trey Sermon too. My goodness, the physicality. I mean, do you think that Ohio State can be disruptive enough defensively and then maybe control the ball enough to have a shot here?
That's it. I mean, there need to be sustained drives. I had a feeling that Notre Dame would struggle with Alabama simply because I never believed that Ian Book has enough confidence in his arm. He's got plenty of confidence. He's got swagger, but if there's something in the flat, if there's something in the first 15 yards, Ian Book is going to take that. And you can't make your living like that against Notre Dame. And Justin Fields absolutely can go downfield, and he has no problem with that at all. But yeah, you're right. Listen, when you're talking about Sermon, and it reminds you of, when Ohio State upset Alabama in the college football playoff back in, 2014.
Yep.
It's hard to remember now, but, Ezekiel Elliott was good, but we didn't know that he was that good until they got to the playoff. And obviously that's the year they went through like 9 quarterbacks and still took care of business. So, yeah, listen, you guys know the deal. If you've got someone who can run the football, it buys you time to figure these other things out. And even when Justin Fields was struggling with consistency, in the Big Ten championship game and certainly in the last month of the regular season, their whole season was just a month. But you know what I mean? Toward the end of the year, they found a running back they could lean on, and he's really, really good. So, yeah, it's all there. And Ohio State, quite honestly, is one of the few teams in the country that can match Alabama when it comes to depth. That's why Clemson can hang with Alabama, because they have depth, and Georgia, because they have depth. not a lot of teams, maybe the top six or seven teams have that kind of depth. And so, yeah, they need this thing to be protracted. But if they do what we saw Notre Dame fail to do against Clemson and against Alabama both, which is you move the ball in the first couple drives and don't get anything out of it, you know, you're going to have to score every time you get into the red zone. If they fumble away or just squander a couple of those opportunities, then, yeah, it's going to be over.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Ryan, we all know the one thing that Alabama needs is another weapon offensively, and it looks like Jalen Waddle at least is going to have the possibility of playing in this game against Ohio State. If he's able to go, what does that do to this Alabama offense that is already operating at a ridiculous level?
Well, according to Nick Saban's daughter, I mean, that's the key, right? No, it's scary is what it is, because, you know, again, as we sit here in January and, you know, Devontae's got the Heisman Trophy, it's hard to remember because it feels like 100 years ago, but Waddle was the guy. And he's the guy we're all talking about. So, but it's interesting, too, because it's an interesting chemistry question, because that's a guy that hasn't been on the field and hasn't been in the playbook and hasn't been a factor for a really long time. And when you talk to some teams and coaches, you know, sometimes when you've kind of gotten used to this is the group and we've had a lot of success, if you do something to upset that, then sometimes, you know, that creates issues. But in the case of Alabama, they don't really have a lot of issues when it comes to anything game plan wise. But yeah, just the idea that he might be out there, there's no way that's not already, you know, weighing heavy on the minds. I said this about the defensive staff at Ohio State. They're going to have to go down to Little Havana and get some of that jacked up coffee that they sell down there, because those dudes are going to be game planning. There will be no sleep in South Florida for those guys.
So, Ryan, how'd you like to talk about your alma mater?
we always do, right? And yeah, you always remind everyone that I went to school there. But, yes, go on.
Well, I mean, look, right now at this situation, where do you think this goes? Let me add on to that, too. Where do you think this goes? Do you think that Tennessee could – move on from Jeremy Pruitt, you know, as there's an investigation ongoing, and then go from there to hiring Hugh Freeze?
All right. So the reason, and listen, I know this for a fact, as soon as we're done with this interview, Hugh Freeze will text me or he will tweet at me or something, because it's just, he has his own name loaded into Google News. It just does. we hear from him. Anybody writes anything about him, says anything about him, positive or negative, you hear from him immediately. I like Hugh. I think Hugh is a great football coach. But the reason South Carolina would not give him a look was because of the baggage. And the reason that I don't believe that his name came up for a lot of other jobs was because of the baggage. And I don't believe that Tennessee would have looked at him 5 years ago in this situation because of the baggage. And I don't think they care about that anymore. You know, they're at a point now where, you know, what do you do to win? But people get hung up on the phone thing, right? People get hung up on the salacious headlines when it comes to Hugh Freeze. There's also NCAA issues there. And that's the part that everyone seems to forget. And so, you know, it's there's a lot coming on, but listen, X's and O's wise, and if he were on the phone with us right now, we'd be having a great time. I mean, he's entertaining and obviously can coach football and you know, and took Liberty, and you know, they're the ones that torpedoed Coastal Carolina Cinderella season. They can play, man, and he doesn't have a lot of talent in Liberty, and they moved to football. And so entertainment wise it would be great, but it's I don't believe that Tennessee would have even looked his way a few years ago. They certainly look the other way on other candidates for, you know, for issues and, good or bad, made up or not. And so, yeah, that's a really long way of saying, I think they'll absolutely look at him. And I think that, you know, the chances of that probably would accelerate things. But listen, you guys know this, once the lawyers show up, once the fixers show up And the guys who, the damage control attorneys, once those guys start showing up for the quote-unquote internal investigations, that's usually not a good sign for the people who are currently employed.
Yep, absolutely. Ryan, last thing for you here. Obviously, Texas makes the decision to move on from Tom Herman, brings in Steve Sarkisian as their head coach. Number one, what did you make of that move, and what do you think the chances are that Steve Sarkisian does a pretty good job at Texas and gets them back to where they want to be in terms of national prominence?
I think that a conversation about Texas and a conversation about Tennessee are similar conversations, which is I think that sometimes a program just gets lost in the woods, Michigan, and you just don't – you can't find your way out, UCLA. You know, you get out there and you just don't know what the answer is. Sark can coach, man, and I think there's the potential there for an Ed Orgeron-type story tied to USC that we were ready to throw this guy's career out because he'd made terrible decisions and had personal struggles and all those things. But he's battled through that. And his honesty when he was asked about that in his introductory press conference, I was completely blown away by. So, now listen, he can do it. But I'm telling you right now, though, if they can't win with him, if with him they're still a 9-win team that, you know, crosses their fingers and hopes to beat Oklahoma every fall, then, you know, that might just be who they're going to be.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Ryan, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Happy New Year to you and your family.
You too, boys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ryan McGee, one of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll get into the Vols a little bit. Are they getting ready to move on for Jeremy Pruitt? How quickly could it happen if they do? We'll discuss all that coming up. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and I got to tell you, the NFL playoffs, my favorite time of year. I can't wait to get in on all the action this weekend on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot because right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the wild card round this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. Maybe you like the Titans in their matchup against the Ravens. Maybe you're going to the NFC and the Tampa Bay Bucks against the Washington football team. Any team, you've got the odds to win there with FanDuel Sportsbook. So don't miss out on this exclusive offer. I've been betting on FanDuel all season long. It's been awesome. They get your money to you in as little as 24 hours. They've got a wide range of betting options. So make sure you check it out if you haven't already. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB. That's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. A deposit is required. Max bonus of $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Ryan McGee from ESPN for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, a little bit of what Ryan talked about is what's going on the Hill right now in Knoxville, the investigation with Tennessee and their football program. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, news coming out as we closed out the show from Mark Slaybaugh of, obviously, as Ryan mentioned, the lawyers involved now, the investigation going on in terms of potential recruiting violations at Tennessee. A hiring freeze has been put on. You've got some openings on that staff. Tennessee has not been able to allow Jeremy Pruitt to hire anyone else. You know, assistant coaches that have left. So, obviously, some holes to fill on his staff, if indeed he's going to be a part of things next year and still the head coach at Tennessee. So, not good news for Jeremy Pruitt on that front. And then, friend of the show, Trey Wallace from Fox Sports Knoxville came out with a piece yesterday adding a little bit to it and said, quote, part of the investigation that attorneys are looking into involves the use of local hotels regarding the recruitment of potential student athletes during unofficial visits over the course of the last few years. Several members of Tennessee's recruiting department have been questioned concerning these matters and more, and another part of the investigation is the activity of a recruiting staffer who worked for assistant coaches, including inside linebackers coach Brian Niedermeyer, inside the football program, and if he was involved in NCAA recruiting violations involving potential recruits, including Amarius Mims, an offensive lineman who signed with Georgia last month. So a lot of smoke right now in this Tennessee investigation, Joe, and none of it is any good news whatsoever for Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, and I believe that's the first mention of Niedermeyer. That's one of those things that's sort of been a, you know, that's a name I heard a few weeks ago in a phone conversation about this situation, Brian Niedermeyer. But I think Trey is the first person to report that, to write him, to write his name. So, you're kind of piecing together details here that, again, illustrate, if anybody had any questions still about whether this is serious stuff or not, you know, I mean, it's obvious that it is. Again, you can go all, it's fine. It's two different discussions. This is one of those two things can be true discussions. You know, yes, this is one of those things that looks like at least maybe some people at UT are looking at this like an opportunity to, you know, reduce a buyout for Pruitt, but it's also, it doesn't mean that there aren't serious allegations involved here. So, and in the meantime, it's just a bad deal, because for every time some of this comes out, and it happened yesterday on the show, Robbie, someone will say, well, just fire him. But that's the whole thing, because if you just fire him right now, you're going to pay him the entire $12.8 million. So yep. In the meantime, if you don't fire him, you're losing out on all these, you know, there's this other costs of just being in limbo. At some point, it's like, I will say this for Tennessee fans, I'd be pretty upset, you know, if this drags on and on and on, and it's about saving a few million dollars, you know, as a Tennessee fan, I'd be like, you know what? All this time, all these mistakes that you guys have made over and over again, and now this whole situation is being held hostage to save some money. I mean, if it's going to be the end of Jeremy Pruitt, you know, this is ridiculous, and now you're hurting yourself for the next situation.
It's just looking more and more to me like he's not going to be here next year. And, you know, we've talked about it just from a pure on-the-field standpoint. I've had my doubts. I've made it clear that I don't believe Jeremy Pruitt is the guy. But I also didn't believe after going 3-7 that they would fire him strictly for just on-the-field reasons. And then it comes out, Tennessee takes a 7-0 lead in Texas A&M in the Texas A&M game, and Trey Wallace comes out with his piece, and here we are now, you know, in the middle of this investigation. But, Joe, you said it a couple weeks ago in Call Your Shot Friday, which, by the way, we'll have coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45 today, that Jeremy Pruitt, not going to be the coach at Tennessee next year. That was your called shot. And the more I look into this, the more information that comes out in this investigation, the more I'm starting to think that you're dead on. I at this point, I'll be honest, I don't see him being the coach next year when the season begins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to imagine. You know, it's interesting, though, too. So then you have, you know, Virginia Tech's talented quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Hendon Hooker commits to Tennessee yesterday. And it's just – so they're losing people. They're losing some players who could absolutely help them next year. I mean, Ty Chandler still could help them next year. DeAndre Johnson, you know, obviously the quarterback depth, that's no surprise. But then – when someone comes in, it's like, what are you looking at right now? Because we don't know. We don't know that Pruitt's gone, but you sure can't feel good that he isn't going to be, right? So why are you – I'm very confused when I see something like a big move like that made in this environment. It's like you have no idea who the head coach is going to be next year. But, I mean, I can't figure out the transfer portal anyway. So it's very much Wild Wild West now in this sport. So much movement, and sometimes it's not obviously just about the coach in place or the system, I guess. But yeah, look, maybe this gets resolved and they determine that, you know, it may be. I did think early in Niedermeyer, again, now that he's been reported, I mean, that he's been discussed from the start of this, I thought maybe it could be Niedermeyer, you know, gets fired, you know, and whatever, you take some self-sanctioning and you move forward, and that's still possible here, but it just doesn't feel that way. It feels like they're moving on.
Never gets dull around Tennessee football, and who knows, you know, come Monday morning, what's going to happen over the weekend with this program. We'll, of course, continue to keep you updated on the investigation and what potentially may or may not happen with Tennessee head football coach Jeremy Pruitt. Preds right now underway in training camp. They'll have their first scrimmage of training camp tonight, and we'll have that for you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pregame starting at 6 o'clock, and then the puck drop right around 7 o'clock as well. So looking forward to that. A little live hockey back in there tonight. And, Joe, you look at the Predators right now, and they've had some difficulty getting everybody on the ice, as we talked about coming up. But we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Vingan in terms of the opportunity for Pekka here to have a bounce-back season. You look at the schedule, they're going to need him to play well. I mean, he's going to have to get some significant playing time this year. He's going to have to be a crucial part of things, even though I don't believe he's going to be the starter heading into this year. I think UC Saros is going to have that role locked down. How realistic do you think it is that Pekka Rinne bounces back this year, given his age? And if he doesn't, what do you do at that point if you're the Predators? Because this is not a situation, 56 games in a compact schedule that you have this year, that you can really afford to wait around with struggles. I mean, that's not for Rinne, that's for everyone. I mean, that's why this training camp, I think, is so important, to make sure you're clicking as well as you can be heading into the season, just given how short the turnaround is this year. So what do you make of the opportunity for Pekka Rinne, and what do you think the chances are he bounces back this year?
Yeah, the second part of that question is tougher for me. I don't know. I mean, I thought last year in stretches he looked like every bit of the dominant Pekka Rinne that we've seen for so long around here. And then obviously the overall performance was not that. And at times it was hard to watch even, you know. I mean, it was very up and down. And again, it was also tied to what was going on in front of him. Of course it was, but you know, goaltender's got to save his team a lot. And at times he couldn't do that. I guess my answer to the first part is, you know, how ready is Connor Ingram? Is Connor Ingram, if there are struggles,
yeah,
is Connor Ingram ready right now to come in and take on some kind of responsibility in a year like this? I'm sure the Preds aren't even thinking that way, but they may have to think that way at some point.
Yeah, and I think if you watched Ingram play last year, you've got to feel confident, even though it was AHL, and I get it. There's a difference between the American Hockey League and the National Hockey League, but played really well. I mean, that tandem last year of Groznik and Ingram was outstanding for Milwaukee. Groznik not a part of the organization anymore, so Ingram's going to be the guy. I think if this was a normal year, I mean, he would be the bell cow in Milwaukee, and he'd be starting, you know, 50, 55, 60 games there in Milwaukee. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Now, if you're the Predators, you're hoping you don't have to find out. You hope everybody stays healthy. Rinne comes in, plays well, and you've got a goaltending duo that you feel good about. But a lot of questions about this group heading in this year. I read off the odds yesterday. I tweeted it out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, typically in the last few seasons since they made their run to the Cup Final, the Predators have been somewhere in the top 10, even in the top 5 in some cases, in terms of Stanley Cup favorites. They were plus 3,300 on the odds yesterday, which was 17th in the NHL on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So I've said it before, like, the expectations outwardly are not going to be as high this year as they have been for the past few years. I'm interested to see, number one, how the team handles that. Could it be better with lower expectations externally and, I guess, theoretically less pressure? And how does this roster shake up in terms of the style of play? That's been the consistent theme in all sorts. In every press conference we've had so far, it's talked about hard work and getting back to the identity that the Predators used to have of being the hardest working team on the ice. Even when questions, you know, haven't really been about that, that comes up in the answers. And that tells me that that's what John Hines and his staff have been harping on all offseason long. And it seems like, to start with, the players have taken that to heart. Now, it's one thing to do that in training camp. It's another thing to do that once the games begin. But it seems like that's been a pretty heavy point of emphasis for John Hines to this point.
Yeah, I mean, to use a very popular sports cliche, you know, kind of going more blue collar. And they've been certainly a team with a lot of skill, a lot of talent on paper, trying to get back to the roots. And I think that's, hey, if you can do that and you can be that consistently, that bodes well. And look, on the goalie situation, it's again how you look at it. I mean, there are a lot of teams out there that would like to have a backup of the talent and accomplishment of Pekka Rinne.
Sure.
You know, I feel like if this was a normal year, it'd be a perfect situation. You know, you're going to get about 30 games and you're going to get plenty of rest, but when you get your opportunities, you know, it's still a really important part of the team. It's just, there's just more pressure on it with this condensed schedule for him. So it's going to be really interesting. And honestly, if he comes out and has a good year under these circumstances, I mean, that just adds to his legacy. So there's a sunshiny way to look at this goalie situation too.
There's always sunshine to find somewhere in the fold, Joe Rexroad. When we come back, could there be some trouble brewing in terms of a potential Titans opponent in the division for the next 5-10 years to come? A little bit of trouble brewing at the quarterback position. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Marcus, I was with you the day that the contract got announced, and I remember we both said to each other, it's great, right? Like, he's had the injuries, he's worked so hard, get your money. But I wish it wasn't in Houston. We had both said, like, man, because we don't trust that organization over the last couple years. Let me be very, very, very clear. There's only about a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL right now that you can unquestionably, without hesitation, say, that dude can win a Super Bowl. He's that good. Deshaun Watson is one of them. Deshaun Watson is so good that you can win multiple Super Bowls with. Get out.
That was Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, friend of the show, talking about the situation brewing in Houston right now between Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, a mess going on right now in Houston. And we know what happened with Bill O'Brien, him being the coach and the general manager there at the same time. It was a disaster, especially on the GM front of things. DeAndre Hopkins out the door. Right now, that roster in shambles from a salary cap perspective. Not a lot of draft capital to work with either. So, obviously, after Bill O'Brien was fired, you're excited, if you're a Texans fan, that you're moving on in a different direction. Hopefully, the next general manager is able to come in and clean things up. But regardless of who the next general manager was going to be, Deshaun Watson was going to be, obviously, a huge part of the franchise moving forward and wanted to be consulted on all this. Apparently, he had met with Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans, and had talked about this, talked about wanting to be involved in this process. And then it comes out that the Texans had hired former New England Patriots executive Nick Caserio to be their general manager to come in and to try to fix things in Houston. And apparently, they did not consult Deshaun Watson at all about this. He found out on social media, causing him that night on Twitter to tweet, quote, "Some things never change." And apparently right now, Watson is very upset with the Texans and their organization for the lack of involvement that he's had and the direction that they've taken. Not necessarily anything against Nick Caserio there, but just of his lack of involvement. Joe, what do you think about this situation? How frustrated do you think Deshaun Watson is? Is it fair? And do you think that this could be a long-term thing that really bothers him and his relationship with the Houston Texans to the point where maybe he wants to move on and demands a trade?
Yeah, well, first of all, and this should be obvious, but when you look at this situation, this is Deshaun Watson or his agent going to Schefter, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty obvious way to read the situation. He's angry enough that he has decided to go to the media and lay this out for people. Now, look, there's always two sides to every story, but why would Deshaun Watson just make up that there was this discussion about input? Now, I would not advise an owner of a team to get into things like, you know, let's see if we can get the players on the team to approve the coach and the GM.
Right.
I just don't think you should do that. But if you had that conversation with them and then you just, and again, I think one of the things here that's really interesting is he wasn't even told, again, according to this source, talking to Schefter, wasn't even told that they hired Caserio. He found out about it by social media. That's
right.
A huge disconnect. That's just a huge disconnect. Somewhere here, there's a massive disconnect, whether it's, you know, I'm sure Cal McNair, you know, would say maybe there's a disconnect in the initial conversation. But regardless, there's a big ownership star player disconnect. And when this gets to this stage where the whole thing is laid out for a Schefter and he writes it, that really doesn't bode well for the future of that relationship.
It doesn't. And, you know, reports came out yesterday, John McClain, of course, longtime reporter there in Houston, saying the Texans are not going to trade Deshaun Watson. And obviously Watson has not come out directly and said, hey, I'm just done with this. I want to be traded and move on from Houston. But you got to start to think about, like, the long-term things of you've traded away his best weapon offensively. The connection he had with DeAndre Hopkins is obviously one of the best in the NFL when you look back at it. The guy responsible for that is now gone. So if you're Watson, you're hopeful kind of moving forward here that things are going to start to change and turn around, and maybe you can get some more weapons back into the fold, not only offensively but defensively. As we saw, they just fell apart this year on that side of the ball. And then to have, like you said, Joe, just this disconnect of thought. You can't feel great right now if you're Deshaun Watson. Now, I will say this. I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of letting players dictate what you do from a hiring standpoint, or you know, making sure that they're approving it before you go ahead and do it. I think it's nice, especially when you have a player of the caliber of a Deshaun Watson or a Patrick Mahomes or an Aaron Rodgers, that you're in constant communication with what you're doing and with what your thought process is. But ultimately, you know, as management and as people making decisions for the franchise, you've got to do what you think is best. You've got to do your job. And players' input, while you can listen to it, I don't think that's got to be the deciding factor or anything like that. But it is pretty obvious, I think, if this story has gotten to Schefter, that Watson and his camp is upset. And, you know, if this goes another year or two and more moves happen where he is just left shaking his head and looking up above him in terms of management, I do wonder how quickly he gets to the point where he demands a trade and wants to be somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're doing this, okay, and it's pretty easy to read, like, how this all played out. If you're doing this, I don't think you're that far from being really frustrated and doing that. Now, I think Deshaun Watson is the face. He and J.J. Watt together are the face of that franchise, and I think he's just embraced Houston, and I'm sure that he would love to stay there and try to bring a Super Bowl there, you know, and kind of finish the job. But if ownership's going to be this bad, then, you know, sometimes, and obviously he's already been, and he handled it with class when Bill O'Brien tried to ruin their entire roster, you know? So, I mean, he's handled it well, but this is an indication that he's very unhappy. I mean, to the point about, you know, getting the players involved in the approval or in the discussion, like, did Aaron Rodgers approve Matt LaFleur to be his head coach?
I don't think there was much consultation.
Yeah. I mean, and Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer who's been the face of that franchise for how long? A long time. You know, even if it was, maybe it was like from Cal McNair's side, it wasn't quite like he didn't quite view it that way. I mean, obviously there's been some kind of big communication breakdown here, and it's just another indication that this organization from the top down has some issues. I don't remember who had the report yesterday, but it was McDaniels was going to be the coach.
Yeah.
Patricia, the DC, and I forget who the OC, but even the OC was like, what? Now that's been debunked. McClain among those people saying Josh McDaniels won't be the coach. I mean, Josh McDaniels, from what I've seen, has not even been requested for interviews. And why would he be?
I was about to say,
you know,
do you see that offense this year?
Yeah. I mean, and sure. I mean, people can say, oh, yeah, I mean, he adjusted it and changed it. But, yeah, the bottom line is they didn't produce. They didn't produce last year with Brady. And also, let's look at his own, you know, history at Denver and then bailing on Indy. I mean, why would he even be a candidate for anybody right now? I have no idea. But I know that there's a lot of fan bases out there right now with Deshaun Watson saying, oh, come on, baby. I see all these Niners fans with, you know, posting him in Niners uniform. And, of course, the Bears, like, the Bears get a second chance and actually get Deshaun this time. What would that look like?
Yeah, I saw some people photoshopping Watson in, like, a New England Patriots jersey with the other half of the picture with Belichick's face, just this crooked smile on there, all part of the plan. Be nice.
Wouldn't it be sweet justice for Chicago Bears fans where they passed up on Watson to get Trubisky and then they end up trading for Watson?
I would not be excited about it at all. I don't know if sweet justice is the right word.
Well, Bears fans have been complaining for the last 3 years that they traded up for Trubisky.
I know.
Instead of drafting Deshaun Watson. And then you could end up trading for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. And probably give up, three more first-round picks for him?
Yeah.
They'd love it. They would love it. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, at what point – see, and the thing is with Watson, I get the sense, like, he just seems to me as the type of guy who, when it comes down to it, it's like, you know what, I'm just going to do my job. And like, I can't, I have a hard time seeing him getting to the point of like demanding a trade. I could be wrong on that. I mean, everybody has a breaking point, but you know what I mean? He seems like a guy who, again, like the way he handled the whole Bill O'Brien DeAndre Hopkins thing, I was like, man, good for you. Cause I think a lot of people wouldn't have been able to handle it that way. So the Texans may luck out here because of his demeanor. But right now I think they're in some dangerous territory.
Make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, Gary Force Acura, and Blue Note Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This week's game will be an AFC wildcard matchup as the Indianapolis Colts take on the Buffalo Bills on Saturday. Kickoff is at 12:05 p.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we come back, it's that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be the Titans and the Ravens. It could be wild card weekend in the NFL, maybe the national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State. Any way you want to take it, let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be Titans and Ravens. It could be NFL Wild Card Weekend. It could be the college football playoff, Alabama and Ohio State. Any direction you want to take it, that's on the table at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Ryan Porth, you have been a Call Your Shot Friday expert. So I'm very interested to see how many shots you've got this week. Bob Williams on Twitter says, my call shot is that Porth Game has lost his right to have any called shots about the Seattle Seahawks. So Bob, very upset at you.
About the Seahawks?
Yeah, apparently you made Bob mad about the Seahawks, picking games against them.
That's a pigskin pick 'em, probably, right? Yeah.
I cannot remember the last time I picked a Seahawks game.
Look, I'm with Bob. I know that he's right. He's talked to me about it before. So I'm just telling you, I don't know exactly when it was. We'll look it up. We'll check the receipts.
Yeah, one of you guys picked a Rams-Seahawks game, picked against Seahawks. Maybe it was Robbie, but it was in the last couple
weeks.
I'm
pretty sure it was Porth.
Come on, Porth.
I'm like stunned.
You're making so many picks.
Yeah, Porth can't even we'll keep find up. It. Joe Rexro, do you have a recap for us from last week?
Yeah, let's go through them quickly. Porth had Watson more than 335 yards, which is what he put up in the first meeting. He was right. Slowman, higher field goal percentage than Gostkowski. Yep. Cowboys win NFC East. Nope. Rodgers MVP, we're waiting on that, but he'll be right. And Harbaugh NFL coaching job, that looks like it's going to be wrong. It looks like he's about to sign an extension with Michigan. Robbie, you had Derrick Henry, 2,000-yard mark. Boom. Got it. Georgia last-second field goal to beat Cincinnati. Boom. Two for two for you.
Boo.
I've got Washington football team will win the NFC East. Boom. I've got Titans winning overtime again, and I should have been right.
So close.
Except for the Texans. Texans not, you know, putting a safety back with 18 seconds left. God. I also have Tennessee men's basketball first Final Four in school history, so we're waiting on that one. So we got some. So really pretty good week. Really, all the way around compared to some weeks for us.
Especially for Call Your Shot Friday. It's a little bit more out there, and the number for Derrick Henry to get to last week was 223. So that was a shot. That was a heck of a number he had hit. And, of course, he got 250 and hit it. So great week for us last week in Call Your Shot Friday. We'll try to follow it up again this week with another good week. And with that, Ryan Porth, we turn things over to you for Call Your Shot Friday.
I'm going to turn it back to you. I'm not ready yet.
Okay. All right. Joe Rexro, would you like to lead off?
That's fine. I got three.
Perfect.
Two of them are longer term shots. So I'll just go quickly. I've already made a pick at theathletic.com in this game, so it's not a surprise. We got pigskin pick them later. We're going to pick all the games. But my called shot specifically will be that Gus Edwards will score the winning touchdown Sunday for the Ravens. Gus Edwards going up against that goal line defense will muscle one in to win it. So that's my short-term called shot. My long-term, I got two. One, Arthur Smith. He will be the head coach in 2021 of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
And my other, Tennessee Vols will be coached in 2021 and beyond by one Gus Malzahn.
Wow. The Gus bus coming to Knoxville. So not only are you doubling down on Jeremy Pruitt not being the coach next year,
You've already got his replacement in mind that you're calling out there. I like it. Way to go, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I got multiple shots. One shot can't even happen without the other shot happening.
That's true.
It's out there.
My called shots for the weekend are this. I'm looking at this Titans and Ravens game, and I'm going to save the pick itself for later in the show. Pickskin Pick'em coming up. But I will say this. I think Ryan Tannehill has a monster day in this game. I know that a lot of attention is going to be on Derrick Henry. I think Ryan Tannehill throws for 3 touchdowns in this game and more than 300 yards through the air. So that is my number one called shot with the Titans and the Ravens. And number two, I'm going to switch gears and move over to the NFC. I'm going to call this shot right now. And a lot of people are going to laugh at me, and I realize that's the case, and that's fine. I don't have a lot of faith in the New Orleans Saints. I especially don't have a lot of faith in the New Orleans Saints in the playoffs as of late. I think they get down early. I think the pressure starts to get to them, and I think they fall apart. I am calling a Chicago Bears upset of the New Orleans Saints. What do you think of that?
You're crazy.
That's a shot.
That's what we're here for, calling some shots.
That counts as a called shot.
Yes, it does.
Ryan, you're right that the Saints, I mean, Saints have not played well in the playoffs lately.
They have not. Ryan Porth.
All right. I've got a few.
Okay.
First of all, this will be the highest scoring Titans-Ravens playoff game of the 5 that they have played.
Okay.
So this will be the 5th Titans-Ravens playoff game, and I think the highest total is, just going off memory, is 37.
Titans may get there by themselves.
I think. No, yeah. 28-12. No, so last year would have been at 40.
40.
They are going to blow past 40.
Okay.
So, shot. This will be the highest scoring Titans Ravens playoff game.
Let me pause you guys real quick. Porth, I'm going to add the sun will come up tomorrow as a called shot for me. Come on, man.
Wow.
That's not a called shot. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Now he's going ripping your poll questions or your called shot. Good Lord. What'd you do to him this week?
Or my shots,
good
Joe.
Night.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
All right. Speaking of last year's Titans Ravens playoff game, Derrick Henry went for 195 on the ground, calling the shot that he does not get half of the 195 this year.
Mm. Okay.
The Ravens defense is going to be motivated to slow him down.
Okay.
Also, Lamar Jackson orchestrates a game-winning drive in the last 2 minutes.
Ooh. Not good news for Titans fans from
YouTube
so far.
Does he hand to Gus Edwards?
Well, you know what? Last night I put down in my called shots that Gus Edwards was going to score a touchdown. But then you said yours, so I took that out.
Okay.
So that it didn't look like I was going to be a copycat.
I mean, we are on the Gus bus today. Various Gus's.
Yeah, different Gus's.
All over the show.
The same
two
bus.
Two different buses.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the same bus with Edwards and Malzahn.
Yes.
And then a Preds shot. The Preds finish in the top 4 of the Central Division and make the playoffs.
Okay. I like it. That nice toned-down version of Call Your Shot Friday from Ryan Porth. Just a few to get through there.
Here's another one. The Steelers win by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Just keep adding to it. All right. Very nice. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville texted, my called shots this week are the Bears and the Colts pull off the upsets, giving the Titans the good fortune of not having to play the Chiefs next week. The Titans get a pick 6 against the Ravens to seal the game. And for the NCAA championship game, the Ohio State Buckeyes will win. Justin Fields will move to the number 1 pick in the NFL draft. Mark from Clarksville saying Justin Fields is going to be doing some leapfrogging.
Hey, Mark, I like the boldness. That last one's not going to be true, but I like it. It's what we call it. It's call your shot. So, good shots.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, there will be 2 underdog wins this weekend, and one of those will be the Colts against the Bills. So, the Colts upsetting the Bills, Joe Rexrode, a very popular pick so far on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I wonder how much of that is maybe wishful thinking from Titans fans of not having to see the Chiefs in the next round.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it would – I haven't really looked around the league yet, but, I mean, I feel like it's going to be 95% of people are going to be picking the Bills to win that game. I actually think it's a really dangerous game for the Bills. But, yeah, maybe that is too, because obviously if the Titans know when they play Sunday that like they can potentially, you know, get a home game by beating the Ravens. That would be something.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, J.K. Dobbins outrushes Derrick Henry in this game, and Baltimore's ground game controls the clock and limits opportunities for the Titans offense in a Ravens win. So the called shot of J.K. Dobbins.
I like that
more
one.
Yards on the ground than Derrick Henry.
J.K. Dobbins is rolling.
Yeah.
And he's been a good over-under prop bet on FanDuel to hit the over almost every time in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
I like it. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden text in, my called shots are the Colts upset the Bills, so another vote for the Colts, and also Jeremy Pruitt will not be the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers on Monday. So Matt expecting a very eventful weekend in Knoxville.
Could be. I mean, it's the clock is ticking right now.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb text in and says, Derrick Henry rushes for 150 yards in this game, and the Titans get it done against the Ravens. They win this playoff game. So another big day for Derrick Henry expected by Caleb. Chris on the text line says, if Henry has 100 yards or under 100 yards, the Titans will lose by double digits. So, Port, going back to your called shot of him not approaching half of his total of last year in the playoff game, Chris saying if that happens, the Titans are going to lose by double digits in this game.
Well, let's also use your called shot of the 300 yards and three touchdowns. Typically, Tannehill does not get that high with passing yards unless they're trailing and he's needing to throw. I mean, a lot of the victories, he ends up in the 200 to 250 range. If he's throwing for 300, I have to think that they are playing from behind most of Sunday.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Captain Garrison from Fort Campbell texts in and says, my Tide will win by double digits. Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle will post 100-yard touchdowns or 100-yard receiving games and touchdowns. Waddle will be there and ball. So Captain Garrison, Joe, expecting Waddle's going to play and be a pretty key factor in the win against Ohio State for Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we get to see him out on the field. If he also has 100 yards with Devontae, unfair.
Talking about a really good day for that Alabama offense. Let's go back our final text here on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston texts in and says the Colts will upset the Bills this weekend, so yet another vote for the Colts. Rivers could possibly be playing in his last game this weekend. If not, he'll want it more than Josh Allen. Allen and the Bills coaching staff have zero playoff experience. The Colts, led by Rivers and their staff, have plenty of playoff experience. I don't think the Bills will be ready for the moment. The Colts win, the Browns win, and the Titans will host the Browns for a chance to go to the AFC Championship game next weekend. Book it on FanDuel. So a book it there from Kinston. I like it.
That's some serious shots all coming together right there.
I like it. Look, that's what this segment is for. Really good participation today. Lots of spicy ones on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll see how many shots come to fruition when we come back on Monday. Lots of love for the Indianapolis Colts today. When we come back, we'll be joined by our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll look ahead to the matchup against the Ravens with him. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.